Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, European leaders and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will hold talks with Donald Trump today. In the online meeting, they're hoping to convince the US president to respect Kyiv's interests when he discusses the war with Russia's Vladimir Putin in Alaska on Friday. Zelensky will travel to Berlin to join the afternoon video conference with the host, German Chancellor Friedrich Merz. Merz has also invited the French, British and other European leaders and the heads of the EU and NATO to take part. The Trump-Putin meeting is on Friday. So far, it's planned to go ahead without Zelensky, fueling fears Kyiv could be forced into painful concessions. Lee Turner, former UK ambassador to Ukraine and author of Lessons in Diplomacy, Politics and Power, is on the line now. Good morning, Lee.
Morning. How are you?
Which Donald Trump is going to show up here? The one who is prepared to threaten secondary sanctions on countries who dealt with Russia, or the Donald Trump who gave the hairdryer treatment to President Zelensky in the Oval Office?
It's always a mystery, isn't it, with President Trump? He has this unpredictability as a feature of his negotiating style. So since he became US president for the second time in January, Trump's policy on the Russia-Ukraine war has, for the most part, been almost comically pro-Russian. He's criticized President Zelensky. You saw that meeting in the Oval Office, ghastly viewing. The U.S. voted with Russia at the United Nations. The U.S. cut off arms supplies to Ukraine while all of this time not putting any pressure on Russia. And then for a couple of weeks, we had this other Trump, as you say, Colin, that... It seemed that President Trump was getting frustrated with Putin's continued massive attacks on Ukrainian civilian targets and the fact that Putin was just ignoring Trump's requests to stop those attacks. So last week we saw this extra 25% tariff on India for importing Russian oil. And we saw a White House announcement that said Russia's actions in Ukraine posed an ongoing threat to U.S. national security. We might all have said, well, that was pretty obvious from the start. So it looked for us for a moment as if for the first time since January, Trump was going to put Moscow under some pressure. And then suddenly we have this announcement of this bilateral summit with Putin on Friday, where the Ukrainians aren't invited. And all the signs, unfortunately, point towards a risk that the US president wants to sell out Ukraine.
What are Vladimir Putin's cards? Donald Trump seems to put great store on the strength of people's cards in any negotiation. But what are Vladimir Putin's cards?
Well, really, Vladimir Putin has very few cards. He has nuclear weapons, which he has threatened to use on numerous occasions. And of course, you have to take these threats seriously. But at the same time, you can't have a doctrine where you simply give any nuclear armed country everything it wants. Otherwise, everybody in the world is going to want to acquire nuclear weapons. So why President Trump is so fantastically pro-Putin, pro-Russia, is a great mystery to many of us. It may be just that Trump admires other strong leaders. He wants to be seen as a longtime leader like Putin, or it may be some other less obvious reason. But what's really worrying at the moment is that the Americans seem to be reviving their so-called peace proposals from last April that basically give Russia everything it wants. So that includes possibly asking the Ukrainians to retreat along the front line from some of their best defended positions in eastern Ukraine. And it might even mean the U.S. formally recognizing Russian sovereignty over Crimea or some other part of Ukraine, which Russia occupied in 2014. And if that happens, I have to quote Margus Tsahkna, the Estonian foreign minister, who said, if borders can be changed by force, none of us is safe. And the problem with that is that it would encourage Russia to attack Ukraine again, might encourage Russia to attack other countries, other neighbors like Kazakhstan, maybe the Baltic states. And then, of course, every other country around the world would think, well, you know, if the Americans are prepared to recognize territory that's been seized by force, why don't we attack our neighbors? And that, of course, would be a disaster for all of us, including, of course, U.S. security and even Irish security if every country is attacking its neighbor.
Is time Vladimir Putin's strongest card, or more specifically, the timeline that has been set by the respective parties in these negotiations? Donald Trump's in a hurry to conclude business, Vladimir Putin in no hurry.
It does sometimes seem as if President Trump is eager to get a deal, any deal, and that closing a deal, being seen as a deal maker, is more important to him than the detail of what is in that deal. We see President Putin, long-established leader, very experienced. He's used to going into the nitty-gritty of things, whereas President Trump gives the impression, and indeed sometimes through what he says, seems to relish in the idea that he negotiates off the cuff. He said the other day, within 2 minutes of going into a room, I can tell what I can get out of my negotiating opponent. And that is no way to conduct complicated international negotiations where one side has attacked the other and is threatening to take away 20% of its territory. Bear in mind that Russia has occupied an area of Ukraine roughly the size of England, so a vast space.
What else do we expect to be on the table here? Donald Trump has shown in his recent remarks on Gaza, for example, that of all the things that seems to have moved him to some degree is the sight of starving children. Would something like discussions over the return of abducted Ukrainian children be likely to be on the table here?
Well, it would be nice to think so, wouldn't it? We all know that President Putin has been indicted by the International Criminal Court. That happened in 2023 for deporting children from Ukraine. I've unfortunately never heard those words passing Trump's lips. I don't know if he's even aware of that. The US, like Russia, is not party to the International Criminal Court. So Putin can fly into Alaska with no risk of being arrested. As he would, in theory, be arrested if he arrived in Ireland or in the UK. And I fear that the only thing that really moves President Trump is the sense that Putin is not paying him attention, is not giving him respect. And Putin, you may remember the famous interview between Steve Witkoff, who is the envoy of President Trump to Vladimir Putin, and a guy called Tucker Carlson, who's a US talk show host, back in March, where Witkoff was moved when he said that Putin had told him that that he had prayed for Trump when Trump survived an assassination attempt on the campaign trail, and that Trump had been moved when Putin presented him with a portrait of himself. So those seem to be the kind of things that really move Trump, rather than the fate of children kidnapped, taken off to be indoctrinated in Russian territory, or indeed the fact that literally hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians and Russians have died in this war since Russia launched it in 2014.
What's the best and most constructive role that could be played by the European Union, by the UK and others, the so-called coalition of the willing?
I think it's really valuable that they're having this meeting today. It's a virtual meeting with Zelensky, Western European leaders, including France, Germany and the UK, and also President Trump and I think Vice President Vance are going to be dialing in. It's a video conference, and they will be bending Trump's ear on the importance of this principle, which I mentioned earlier, that you cannot change borders by force. Otherwise, I want to put this politely, but we're all in deep, deep trouble if that becomes an accepted precedent. So I think trying to persuade Trump that there should be no recognition of Ukrainian territory is one of the most important things they can do. And then the other thing, of course, is trying to provide a military force to guarantee any eventual peace deal. At the moment, we seem to be a long way from a peace deal. And both the Russians and indeed the US have rubbished European efforts to put together a military force to preserve a peace deal. But without some kind of military guarantees for any peace deal, we just know that President Putin's word cannot be trusted on anything he may sign. You may remember, actually, back in the 1990s, Russia actually signed a treaty where they accepted Ukraine's internationally recognized borders as they were then, including Crimea. And they simply broke that treaty back in 2014.
So the European role will be trying to at least influence the conduct of these talks on Friday. But then afterwards, given that Putin will have been the last man in the room with Trump, to exercise some kind of a debriefing or a deprogramming after that to make sure he's not the last voice that Trump has heard on the issues facing Ukraine.
Well, the Europeans will certainly keep making their views clear. But what everybody is very worried about, and of course, Trump encourages everybody to worry because they never know exactly what he's going to do next in any area of policy. He's always doing unexpected things. And what we're all worried about is that he, with his impetuous style, with his superabundance of confidence, will say something or agree to something in that meeting with President Putin, which is profoundly damaging to the security of countries, not only in Europe, but also the United States itself, because he's just repeatedly been outmaneuvered and manipulated by President Putin. And we should all be very concerned that that's going to happen again.
OK, we'll watch and wait. Lee Turner, former UK ambassador to Ukraine, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Colin.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.